Yeah, hey, it's Lucas Barfield here, and you are tuned in to another episode of the Cannabis Corner, a show where we go over some recent headlines in cannabis and go over a topic every week on the topic of cannabis, just trying to get the information out there. Something that's not really heard a lot is the topic of marijuana or cannabis. I kind of go back and forth between the two words. So right here on Radio Tacoma, we're trying to get the word out and educate people. And one of the things that is going on in our community is marijuana. You can see the stores everywhere. There's some criminal justice things going on in our state and around the country right now with marijuana. So it's just really important to be up on what's going on. And again, you just don't really hear about it. And I just want to get the information out there and kind of educate people on what's going on in the world of marijuana. It's a very complicated issue, honestly. There's just a lot of things going on with it. So many different directions you can take this, and it's been going on for so long as far as the war on marijuana that it's just had such an impact to our culture that you just really can't get away from this topic. And I think we should just change our thinking on this. And that's what this show is all about. So thanks for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter if you'd like to kind of follow what I'm posting about in the arena of marijuana. You can follow me on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. So thanks for tuning in. Like I said, this is Tacoma Radio, or Radio Tacoma, KTAH. So we're going to get right into the headlines. So the first headline, this is really big news. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, Cory Booker, a New Jersey Senate Democrat from New Jersey, introduced a bill in the Senate called the Marijuana Justice Act. And this is a first of its kind bill that will deschedule marijuana in all 50 states. So right now, marijuana is classified as a Schedule 1 narcotic in the same arena as LSD and just some other really sort of bad drugs. Even cocaine is not a Schedule 1 narcotic. Cocaine is a Schedule 2 narcotic. So they have marijuana right up there at the top of the list with LSD and heroin. And the Marijuana Justice Act deschedules it. So it just takes it off of that controlled substance list where it does not need to be. And that would make it legal in all 50 states just automatically. Now, whether the states decided to implement once it was legal, once they said, okay, we're going to jump onto this, that's something we'll have to see. But the act does that. It also sets up a fund. It takes a lot of the money that was used in the drug war and starts putting it towards community redevelopment. So libraries, community centers, places where people can go to help get their marijuana records expunged, helping pay for legal services to get their marijuana convictions expunged. So this community really redevelopment fund, it can really go a long way to help all the damage done on the war of marijuana. And there has been a lot of damage done. So hats off to Cory Booker for doing this. Another thing that it would do would expunge all federal cannabis convictions. So if you had been convicted with a federal crime of marijuana, it would just erase that record clean. It would also do a very important thing. It would set up, if you were still in prison for a federal marijuana crime, and there are a fair amount of people out there that have been arrested on the federal level and are in prison for growing marijuana, you can appeal to a judge and have them look at your case and perhaps have your sentence reduced, or perhaps hopefully maybe let you out. So that's another thing the act does. It also sets up some incentives to legalize marijuana for so states that have not legalized marijuana. It gives them federal incentives to do so. And then states that have legalized marijuana, the states that have legalized marijuana, it says, okay, so if you have any marijuana laws that are racially biased, we have incentives for you to help fix those. So it goes a long way to helping reduce some of the damage done by the war on marijuana. And that's what Cory Booker says. You can go on his website and find this, where he gives a statement basically saying that the war on marijuana has got to end. He has a Facebook Live video up. And good on Cory Booker. So and he's a presidential contender. So this is really going to bring up the topic of marijuana into the presidential election and get it out there on the national stage. So that was our first headline. Next headline has to do with Jeff Sessions. And it seems to me, I do a fair bit of writing on the topic of marijuana. I have been writing about Jeff Sessions for like the past 2 months. Every article I do is on Jeff Sessions or has something to do with Jeff Sessions. And I don't know why it shouldn't. Jeff Sessions and I we're from the same place in Alabama. So he's just sort of following me around lately on this topic of marijuana. And he just cannot get it through his head that marijuana is legal in the United States. He's still stuck back in the devil weed days. And although his boss, Trump, sort of gave some support for legal marijuana in the election and said that he supported medical marijuana, pretty strong statement, said he supported medical marijuana, he has not come out and said anything about, okay, Sessions, please don't do this. He seems to be right behind everything Sessions is doing. And Sessions is a long-term marijuana critic. He once said the KKK, used to thought the KKK were nice people until he found out they smoked marijuana. He said nice people don't smoke marijuana. So Jeff Sessions is an old school drug warrior, and he's just keeping on going. He just cannot help himself. And so he wrote a letter to Inslee here in our state, Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson, saying, okay, your state is contributing to the black market and your legal marijuana system is not living up to the Cole memo. Now, Inslee and Ferguson shot back and said, no, you're using outdated information. We're doing our best to try to rein in the black market. We are trying to keep it out of the hands of youth, and we're trying to fulfill our obligation underneath the Cole memo. So those guys pushed back, and Sessions still has a task force out there saying, or looking at the Obama era Cole memo and saying, okay, is this something we still want to do? So that task force is still going on out there, but the rumor has it, or the word is when his task force comes out and says, okay, there's no really problem with legal marijuana, Jeff Sessions is just going to say, okay, I don't care. And he's still going to try to come after legal states, we really don't know what he's going to do. It's sort of I don't want to say scary situation, but it's a very worrisome situation that the federal government could come in here and crack down on all these I-502 businesses. These mom-and-pop shops that have basically put their whole entire lives into trying to get this thing going, come in and try to shut these folks down. So it's just really something to pay attention to. Watch out what's going on with Jeff Sessions and the marijuana, because he's not going to change his mind. And he's not one day just going all of a sudden going to say, oh, okay, marijuana's good. So watch out for Jeff Sessions out there. So next up on our headlines is a story you might have seen making the rounds last week, and it was a corporation in California. So California just legalized marijuana or for recreational use this past election. Now that's kind of, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, okay, because they passed medical marijuana in 1996, and they are well known for producing marijuana. I mean, even when I was living in the South, it was known that a lot of the cannabis we were getting there in the South came from California. And I was just doing some research. They produce about 13.5 million pounds of marijuana in California every year, and they only use about 2.5 million pounds. So there's a big overflow in California. So it's been big there for a long time. But now a corporation called, let's see what it's called here, America Green Incorporated, they have decided they went and bought a town in California, and they are going to turn it into Weed Town. And this is exciting because, as I've said before, and it's a little town called Nipton, California, and it was started in the 1980s to be a self-sustaining town, but the guy who started it passed away, and his widow said, hey, I can't keep this up. So she sold it for $5 million they sold it for $5 million to this American Green Incorporated, And they're going to invest another $2.5 million in it. And they're going to make like a marijuana tourist town. And this is really awesome because something that I've said before, and I want to keep saying it, is if we would change how we look at cannabis or marijuana, it would change so many things about our society literally almost overnight. Pharmaceuticals, the oil industry, the paper industry, on and on we could go. Just making quality of life better in the United States if we would start using more cannabis and hemp products. So this town is going to take it on, and they're going to start doing this right out in the front of everybody and say, we're going to make ourselves a weed town. Now, we don't really know what that's going to look like. I'm guessing they're going to have some cannabis growing around and have the buildings made out of hemp products and all these kind of things. And they're going to get some jobs going. They're going to be running their power from hemp products, tourism, and then they're going to get some jobs in. They're going to have a cannabis-infused water factory there in that town. So they're going to be creating jobs with this. So it's real exciting. So keep an eye out on that. Nipton, California, weed town. The next story we're going to talk about is, and I think we talked about it last show, is the NFL and MMJ. And this is a story that I like to talk about because the NFL is big in the United States and sports in general are big. So anytime you see the sports taking on a topic, sort of pushes it up to the forefront. So now that the NFL has taken on cannabis, then they are really kind of going to be pushing this up to the forefront of American culture, especially if the NFL says, okay, yeah, you can now use medical marijuana to treat all the problems that you're having out there from playing football. That literally validates medical marijuana for millions and millions of people that look up to the NFL for, you know, their entertainment. They look up to the players as role models. But it's just a very large corporation or organization saying, hey, you know, we're not going to, if you have a medical marijuana card, we're not going to run you out of the league for that. And that would be really big. And there's an organization called Athletes for Care, and it's run by a guy named Eaton Britton. And he has been pushing for this for a long time, and they just reached out to the union, just reached out to the NFL to try to, actually the NFL just reached out to the union to just start discussing policy about medical marijuana. And that really shows that we have some changing attitudes going on in America around this topic. And the NFL, they're really seeing a need for this because it has been proven that medical marijuana can help with this thing they have going on, this CTE and the traumatic brain injury problem they're having. I know some people here in Washington who preach about soldiers using these things, the CTE and the TBIs, and how cannabis can help with those. So it really is a big deal with the NFL looking into this, and they seem to be moving forward with this. So keep an eye on that, and I'll be letting you know if there's anything further on that. It will help with the opiate epidemic too. We can never forget how bad it is that these players and everybody else are getting hooked on opiates, and then because they're working, and then they get hurt, and then they get hooked on opiates, and then their lives just go down the tubes. And that just happens to so many people, so many people. So you are listening to Radio Tacoma right here in Tacoma and KTAH 101.9 FM. My name is Lucas Barfield, and you are tuned into the Cannabis Corny, and you can corner, and you can follow me on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. If you'd like to follow me and kind of what I'm writing about and tweeting about, I just usually just tweet articles and then articles I write and stuff. Not a lot of commentary or anything on the Twitter account, so just kind of help you keep up with the news. So next up, we're going to run through our little topic here, and this week our topic is, and this is a topic that I am very passionate about, and one of the things that really, once I started getting into the marijuana scene, I guess you'd call it, here in Washington, back in 2014, when I first started taking this on as a full-time writing job or career, is this idea of terpenes. And the reason why I like this idea is because it has science involved with it. Something that the medical and marijuana industry, the medical cannabis and just the recreational cannabis industry are sorely lacking. Now, there are a lot of good people out there using science to grow their medicine and their cannabis.
But there just needs to be more, and the state really needs to take this on a little bit more. So let's talk about some terpenes for a second.
So terpenes, or terpenoids, they are the most common volatile compound in the world. So they're all around us. It's the smell molecules. So anytime you're walking around and you smell something from a plant, it's coming from a terpene or a terpenoid. And there are literal tens of thousands of these things. So many different plants, so many different smells. But there's some specific ones that are in the cannabis plant. And they come out, they result from plant metabolism. So they come out at different times during the plant's life. So the longer you let the plant grow, the terpenes will change. So it's kind of a, there's not really a debate about it, but there's always a discussion on how you can get the most terpenes in your plants. Because the terpenes, they are the thing that make each strain that strain. So if you think about it, the compound in cannabis that gives you your main sort of high, that feeling of euphoria and all that, it is tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC. But THC is THC is THC. So, you know, if you take it one time, you're going to get one effect. And if you take that same thing the next time, you're going to get the same effect. But all the different strains have different effects. Where does that come from? That comes from those terpenes that are in that strain. And so when you smoke the terpenes, they kind of wind together and they're attached to the THC and the CBD, and there's some other cannabinoids, CBG. They're all attached in there on the molecular level. And when you smoke it, it breaks all that apart, and it all comes in there together all at one time, and then they call it the entourage effect. So it's a whole bunch of effects getting you at one time. Because the thing is they're not just one terpene in cannabis. There's four or five or six of them. So depending on the concentrations, it depends on the effects. And you can really, if you are a cannabis enthusiast, you really know that the strongest cannabis out there is the stuff with the strongest smell. And back in the South, when I lived there, we were always the first thing I would do, because I can't see very well, but everybody else would do too. As soon as you get a bag of cannabis, you open it up and stick your nose in it. What's going on here? And that's your first thing to check, is how strong is that smell. And you can predict, if you open up a cannabis bag, that it is how strong it is by how strong the smell is. And you can even do that in I-502 shops here, in the shops they have around here. If you go and buy some, open it up, smell it. And if you buy it more than once or different places, just kind of start paying attention. The stuff with the really strong, potent smell is going to give you the best sort of feeling and the best result. So let's go over some of these terpenes that there are. Some of the different terpenes out there. And each one of these terpenes have some unique medicinal effects. And I'm just going to kind of go over the array of medicinal effects there are, because they all kind of overlap. Some have some unique ones, but they all overlap. So they're antibacterial, antifungal, anti-inflammatory, analgesic, meaning pain relieving, antipsychotic. They really help with a lot of different conditions. So the first one is limonene, and this is a pretty common terpene out there. It's what is in citrus fruits. Of course, it's named limonene. And if you find it in cannabis, it's going to be giving you a more uplifting effect. And it has a antibacterial, antifungal, as you would expect, because it's got that citrus. It's kind of in that arena of a fruity smell. And so that's limonene, another one that is very popular in strains. And actually, one of my complaints here in Washington is there's actually too many strains that have high concentrations of this terpene, the pinene. And that is the stuff that gives the cannabis this pine smell, like pine trees. And it is the same terpenoid in a pine needle. Now, why can't you smoke a pine needle and get high off of it?
because you don't have the entourage effect, because that THC that crosses that blood-brain barrier is not there. So it doesn't do the same thing. So you have high concentrations of pinene, and pinene, one of the good things about it is it helps with your lungs, opens up your breathing. So pinene is a really strong terpene in there, and that also gives you sort of an uplifting effect. Next one is myrcene, a very common terpene in cannabis, and it's the one that kind of gives the grassy smell, and it's in almost all the strains of cannabis, and it has a sedative effect, or really strong. It's a really strong terpene. I was doing an article one time speaking to a guy in Canada who was breeding cannabis, and he said that he was breeding it for some veterans, and they had to come to him and tell him, hey, take the myrcene down because it's too strong. It's putting us to sleep. So the myrcene is another big terpene in cannabis, and you can find that in things like mango. So next one is beta-caryophyllene. And this one kind of has like a pepper smell to it, and it has really no known effect, but is thought to be, as far as uplifting or sedative, but it is thought to be very, very anti-inflammatory terpene, and it has like a pepper smell. It's found in cloves and other things like that. Next one is linalool, one of my favorite ones, and this is the one in lavender. And you can actually go out there and find cannabis strains, Lavender Kush. So it has the linalool, and it is a sedative effect. A cannabis strain called Blue Dream has high concentrations of linalool in it, and it's sedative. And it has that floral smell. Cannabis smells like a flower. And there are some producers out there that put their terpenes on their packaging, but not a lot. So this is actually a big complaint we're having right now with the Washington system, that they don't all list their terpenes, and you don't ever know the smell. You have to kind of, you got to buy it first and then open it up to look at the smell, it's kind of one of our problems with our system, because it's part of cannabis culture. You want to be able to smell your cannabis before you buy it. The next one, and these are some new ones I've never heard of, is levavinol. That's another terpene, antibacterial, antifungal, and humulene is another one that I was just reading about. A lot of the same medicinal effects. And there are a couple brands, like I was saying, if you go into the I-502 shops, that will list the terpene. So if you go in there, you can just say, hey, do you have any flower in here that has the terpenes listed? And then the people behind the counter, they may or may not. Some do, and most don't, though. So that is terpenes. You can find some more information on that on my Twitter feed, at MJ is Medicine. And we got one more little thing. I'm kind of adding in some new things as we go along here, and I wanted to do this one, and this is the end of the show, so we're going to call it It's a Bust. And we're just going to talk about a bust I read, because I read a lot on the marijuana, and I come across some just crazy busts, and just things are like, whoa. And we're going to talk about one that happened this last week in Illinois. There's two men arrested. They were growing in their basement. They had 50 pounds in their basement growing it. And they were found with candy extracts. And they were growing hundreds and hundreds of plants. And they had a butane and alcohol extract lab set up, which is pretty dangerous. I mean, they don't blow up all the time, but they do blow up. So this is one of the most dangerous parts of dealing with cannabis, and this is another reason why we need to have it regulated, is that so people will less and less start trying to make these extract labs. So that is our show for the week, and again, thanks for tuning in. This is KTAH, and you can follow me on Twitter @MJIsMedicine. So hope you have a good week, and see you next time. Bye-bye.